From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st. I'm Tanisha Spain, in for Brian Mackey, who is out this week. The 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo wrapped up over the weekend. There were several Olympic hopefuls from Illinois or with Illinois ties who competed in events ranging from rhythmic gymnastics to rugby. Ryan Murphy, a swimmer from Palos Heights, Illinois, took home the gold in the men's medley relay. And Olivia Smoliga from Glenview, Illinois, got a bronze medal in the women's freestyle swimming relay. Kevin McDowell, a triathlete from Geneva, finished sixth in the men's triathlon, the best finish for any American man in the Olympic event since it debuted at the Sydney Games in 2000. There were other Illinoisans who had hopes of medaling, but those dreams didn't come quite true, at least this time around in Tokyo. We spoke with men's high jumper Daryl Sullivan on the 21st, just ahead of his trip to Tokyo back in July. He placed 15th at the Games, but is still making his hometown of Marion, Illinois, proud. Today, we wanted to revisit that conversation with Daryl, which touched on more of what it takes to compete in the high jump, but also his reaction to the disqualification of his USA track teammate Sha'Carri Richardson, and competing as an athlete of color in 2020 for a country reckoning with racism. Here's that conversation between Illinois Olympian Daryl Sullivan and 21st host Brian Mackey.
So, Daryl, I want to ask you about your sort of athletic origin story. When did you first get into high jumping?
I first started high jumping my freshman year of high school. I was originally a basketball player. I always wanted to be the next LeBron James, but at my stature, that wasn't, you know, going to happen, wasn't in my future. But I always grew up dunking the ball across the street every day, literally just wanting to jump as high as possible. And Coach Baker, he saw me up there during the game at my freshman year doing layups. My hand was near the rim, so he took me into the Blue Gym at the time in the high school and had me trying to dunk a tennis ball. And then from that point on, I went out for track. You know, my friends were attending as well. And the rest is history. He continued to get better and strive for greatness.
What was the youngest age you were able to dunk? How old were you when you learned that you could do that?
Man, I want to say I dunked my first time sophomore year, like early sophomore year of high school at lunch. Because my freshman year, I had a broken arm. So I didn't even get to finish my track season that year.
So you said your stature. I mean, do you ever surprise people on the basketball court with how high you can jump? Do other high jumpers, are you all good basketball dunkers?
I don't know, but a lot of high jumpers, they have roots in basketball. You know, basketball is very popular. But I would say in the high jump, I would say my stature is a little surprising to some people compared to how high I can jump, because usually out there, a lot of the guys are around somewhere between 6'2 and 6'5, you know, even taller. And me being 6 foot, you know, 5'11 without shoes, I don't usually tell people that, but, you know, I'll let it all out here on the station. But yeah, it's usually surprising to some people. I know my parents were talking about how at the trials they were talking about my stature and how I was built different than other guys. But, you know, I like it because it looks a lot more interesting when I clear those higher heights than others.
You and I are the exact same height, 6 feet with shoes. I bet I could. I don't think I could clear a 12-inch shoebox stack, let alone a high jump. But anyway, I digress. What are your travel plans? Are you in Tokyo now? Or are you still traveling?
No,
what are your travel plans?
I'm currently at the University of Tennessee. Okay. Currently moving out of my apartment, and I'm leaving on the 24th, and I come back on the 2nd. So I fly out to Tokyo on the 24th out of Chicago. And I'm excited. It's gonna be a long flight, my first time overseas. So it'll be, you know, a lot of new experiences.
Yeah. Are you, what sort of rules are there in place around COVID? Is that something you're worried about traveling?
Man,
there
are so many rules right now. A lot of people keep asking me, like, are you ready? Are you excited to go to Tokyo? And right now, there's so many, you know, protocols and rules and regulations we have to do as USA athletes to depart, to get into Japan. So we have to take COVID tests 96 hours to 72 hours before my departing flight and, you know, complete a whole lot of paperwork to make sure we're going to be safe in Japan and for the government to open our borders up to us. So right now I'm really just focused on trying to get all the paperwork settled so I'd be able to get into Japan. So until that's done, I won't really, you know, think too much about being able to, you know, go over there and compete. Right now I'm just focused on the task at hand. But when we get there, there won't be any spectators, and, you know, they'll keep track of us. They'll have Google Maps on our phone. We have to stay on at all times because they'll be tracing us through our phones. So let's say you come in close contact with another athlete, you know, you would be quarantined. So you have to make sure you keep your phone 6 feet apart or else, you know, it might not end well.
Wow.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Do you even have a chance to do any like sightseeing when you're over there, or is it just like get in, get out? Yeah.
Village to the track. That's all I've been hearing. Village to the track.
Wow. So can you talk about your journey to the Olympics? Were you planning or trying to go last year, or is this an opportunity that just came up because of the postponement? Can you talk about, I know a lot of track athletes sort of plan their lives around that 4-year cycle, mm-hmm. right? And in the other competitions.
Right. Do you want me to start and talk about all the way through college or just this past
year? Yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I always, you know, strive to be as best as I could be. And, you know, I always wanted to continue to PR and jump higher than what I had the previous year. And, you know, after my sophomore year, not jumping as well as I did out of high school my first couple of years, you know, I had a lot of time to think and get better technique-wise with my old coach, but I just wasn't jumping higher. You know, my new coach came in, Coach Geffert, and, you know, we worked a lot, you know, worked hard, worked out. He got me stronger. I started jumping higher. And then last year, we would look at 233 in practice, 7.75¾, which is the Olympic standard. And last year, I cleared that at Virginia Tech. And from that point on, the Olympics kind of, you know, it was more in my sight. You know, before that, I would say I'd always wanted to go to the Olympics, but I hadn't achieved that height or jumped high enough. So once I jumped 233, I was like, okay, all right, we're here. And at that point, I was number one in the world. I was the only U.S. guy to make it. So I was thinking going in, you know, I had a great chance of making the team. And for it to be postponed, it was very disheartening. But at the same time, I had another year to come back and get better. And this year so far, I jumped 233 twice. And going into the trials, I was very confident in my abilities. You know, I didn't have the greatest qualifier or the greatest NCAAs in Oregon, but I just had to bounce back and reevaluate and come back on finals stronger than ever. And that's what I did. You know, it was probably one of my best track meets I've ever had, to be honest.
All right, let me take a moment to reintroduce you. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Daryl Sullivan, who's a member of the U.S. track and field team heading to Tokyo 2020, even though it's 2021. They're still calling it Tokyo 2020, competing in the high jump. He holds the record for that at the University of Tennessee. He's originally from Marion, Illinois, in southern Illinois. And let's talk a little bit about, I'm curious about the technique and the strategy behind the high jump. You mentioned 233. For people who are not familiar, that's 2.33 meters. By my calculator, about what, 7 feet?
7.75.
Okay, 7 feet, 7 inches and 3/4 of an inch. Very precise, yes. I think I looked up, if Wikipedia can be believed, the men's Olympic record is 2.39, which is 7 feet, 10 inches. Yes. So what is the basic strategy? What makes a successful high jump?
Honestly, you have to develop yourself technically, but on top of that, you have to make sure that your muscles and your body are ready and able to compete at the highest level. So premier, they say a lot of us are like race cars or race horses. You know, you have to fine tune those little tweaks to get that extra 1/4 inch or that extra centimeter. But overall, what really is mostly natural ability, but I would say you just got to work hard and have that ability to jump as high or as far, or run as fast as you can. You can only do so much as what your genetics allow you to, of course, but through coaching and everything, making sure you have a great training cycle and just staying consistent. So I would say the most important part is getting your approach right. Over the past couple meets, I had problems with my approach, and being able to get that together was one thing that really helped me at the Olympic trials, because once you run your approach and take off, your trajectory is already set over the bar. So you want to make sure, you know, that's as precise as possible. You almost have to be obsessed with being perfect, or a perfectionist, as you would say, when you're thinking about running your approach or anything else you do in the sport of track and field.
I want to ask you, you mentioned the Olympic trials in Oregon, and I want to ask you about mm-hmm. something else that happened there. One of your, I guess, former teammates, Sha'Carri Richardson, who was a few weeks ago the fastest woman in America.
Oh, she went to LSU.
Right, but I mean on the Olympic, the U.S. team, right? She's not,
of course.
She's not on the Olympic roster for track and field now after testing positive for THC, which is in marijuana. Mm-hmm. I wonder, what do you think of that decision? It's gotten a lot of attention. A lot of people are upset about that.
A lot of backlash.
Decision. Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, I understand the rules and regulations, and I kind of know, like, a lot of people are just speaking from the perspective of her being a U.S. athlete, but it has nothing to do with the USA, because when we're tested by a worldwide corporation called WADA. So if she tests positive for THC, there's nothing the U.S. can really do about it, you know? So, you know, in other countries, marijuana is outlawed and things of that nature. So I understand it from that perspective, but I just feel like it's ridiculous at this point, because over here in the U.S. and even in Oregon, it's legalized. So I feel like, you know, you can't make an exception for one person, but I think she should be allowed at the Olympics, or at least delay her 30-day suspension. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just unfortunate. I feel like she should have known, but you never know what someone's going through or what's happening. So
yeah, we should mention, she's mentioned that her mother had died suddenly. She learned about that from a question from a reporter and said she was using it as a way to cope. So
yeah. I just feel like she should have been aware regardless of the situation. I know, you know, I'm not in her position, but I just feel like she should have been aware, because everybody knew, I knew. But it's just unfortunate that it happened. And I know she's going to bounce back stronger than what she did before. But of course, I would have loved to see her in the Olympics and talk to her and meet her for the first time. But, you know, you got to follow the rules and regulations. And if those are broken, you know, they have to set a precedent for, you know, if anything else like that happens again.
Yeah. Can I also ask you, I mean, this is a time when some Black American athletes have a certain ambivalence about representing the U.S., given the ongoing struggle for racial justice. How do you feel about, you know, wearing the red, white, and blue and hoping to have that flag and the national anthem played, you know, with the gold medal ceremony?
Right. I mean, I honestly don't feel any type of way about it. I'm blessed to be able to represent this country, even though there are a lot of things that I feel like are being handled wrongly with, you know, shootings and everything going on in the community. But honestly, I'm just happy to represent this country, because this is something I've been doing since I was young. And regardless of everything happening, I'm still proud to be a part of this nation and compete at the highest level. But I do recognize, you know, all the injustices going on within the Black community, and something does need to change, no doubt. But at this point, I just feel like it's about athletics and not about the state of our country, or, you know, what it's saying, or, you know, things of that nature.
Yeah. All right. So I want to ask you, you mentioned village to the field, village to the, to the stadium. When you are in those moments, you're getting ready for the event. What's going through your mind? What are you doing to sort of get in the zone? What is your routine?
Honestly, it probably starts a couple of days out. You know, right now everyone's asking me, you know, how excited I am. But right now, like, I was talking to my sports psychologist yesterday. He was just telling me, you know, right now, you know, there's no need to expend any extra energy until you get to Tokyo. So I feel like a few days before is when that process really starts, to me getting locked in and ready to go, because I have that qualifier round to try and get through the finals. So I know I'm going to have to jump in the qualifier round to make the finals, like my life depends on it. But just getting ready is, I'll probably, you know, focus in more, read a little bit, listen to some music. And, you know, just visualize and watch some high jump videos just to make sure I'm on point.
That was Daryl Sullivan, Olympic high jumper, speaking with Brian Mackey just before he headed off to the Tokyo Olympics back in July. He unfortunately didn't medal at the Games, finishing 15th. Daryl attends the University of Tennessee, where he is the all-time school record holder and is their first track and field athlete to qualify for the Olympics in the high jump. And he's ranked third in the world this season. Coming up next, we'll revisit a conversation with Shankar Vedantam, host of the podcast Hidden Brain, about his new book about the useful lies we tell ourselves. Stay tuned.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. For 150 years, Busey has helped business owners and entrepreneurs navigate financial decisions, achieve long-term goals, and realize dreams of success. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.